Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
When it comes to the topic of sex, seduction, and eroticism, the male gender is fairly easy to predict and figure out. No real mysteries to be uncovered regarding men and their desire for constant satisfying orgasms. On the other hand, many men seem to be confused and/or ignorant when it comes to figuring out what exactly makes the average woman tick sexually. Is it size or stamina that pleases the woman? How kinky is too kinky? And what sexual behavior by men is perceived as too conservative or boring in bed? Why do women love toys such as vibrators and dildos so much? Why do some women love erotica novels, but those same women shy away from watching pornographic videos? My guests this evening fancy themselves as two women who have a passionate interest in anything to do with women's sense of eroticism and sensuality. One guest tonight goes by the nickname the Luscious Lifestyle Diva and regularly teaches women how to bring out their inner freak side while gaining the reputation as a courtesan coach. My other guest loves to instruct, debate, and discuss any and all subject matter related to dating and relationships, and in particular, you guessed it, women's sexuality and intimacy issues. Her entertaining moniker is the Funky Brown Chick. Who are these erotically uninhibited women that don't mind publicly sharing their viewpoints and words of wisdom about anything and everything related to the wonderful art of exchanging orgasmic pleasure? Their names are Tawana A. Hines and Yolanda Shoshana, and tonight I'm going to ask these two women just about every provocative question that most men want to ask but are afraid to, as these lovely, intelligent, and insightful women decide to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in their race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect the woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger. Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Allen Roger Curry.
Flirting with the verge of obscene into the unknown. I will be bold. I'm going to a place that I can be out of control.
Gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Allen Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Allen Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, October 21st, and tonight, I will be discussing my second favorite subject in all of life. Okay, you know what my favorite subject is, chicken wings and peach schnapple. I cannot stop talking about my love for chicken wings and peach schnapple. So I can talk about that for like 8 hours a day, every day. But a close second to chicken wings and peach schnapple is fucking. Just to put it out there, fucking. Sex, the exchange of orgasms, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, tonight we're talking about not just sexuality in general, but specifically women's thoughts on their own sense of sexuality, sensuality, eroticism. I'm very hyped for this discussion. I have two very intellectually thorough sisters ready to get raw and greasy with me about everything related to sex, seduction, intimacy from the woman's perspective. That's right. So, man, get ready, get your notepads out, and take some notes, because these women are going to drop some wisdom on you. Women, get ready to call in and ask your questions or contribute your thoughts. That's right, because, eroticism, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before I get to my two dynamic guests for the evening, let me tell you about some episodes coming up. Next Thursday, I'm going to have an open discussion forum about the unpleasant experience of going through a divorce. I will have a few experts on the phone lines, and I invite all my listeners who have experienced a painful divorce to call in and contribute with their thoughts. If you've recently gone through a divorce, maybe you were the child of parents who went through a acrimonious divorce, got a close friend, relative. We're going to talk about just the whole process of going through a divorce. So next week, that's the divorce episode. 2 weeks from tonight, I will have a discussion for women. See, women always say that I favor the fellas, and I think I'm pretty fair and equal in terms. A lot of shows I have, of course, are for both genders. I think that's the vast majority of my shows. And then I have some shows that are geared towards the men, some shows that are geared towards the women. Like tonight, you could say this is technically more leaning towards the women. But anyway, 2 weeks from tonight, I'm going to have a show specifically for women about improving their self-image, their sense of fashion, and their self-esteem with Kara Allen and Latricia Smith. Now, I know all my male buddies are like, man, what are you getting soft, Allen? What's with the fashion, dude? Self-image for women. Hey, it was requested. These are two great guests, and I'm going to talk about it. Then finally, going the opposite end of the spectrum, 3 weeks from tonight, I'm going to have a number As you know, I'm getting ready to go to London. That's right. I am going to London. Matter of fact, I'm catching my plane 4 weeks from tonight. 4 weeks from tonight, I'll be flying to London to participate in the Direct Dating Summit. That's right, the Direct Dating Summit. And in preparation for that show, I'm going to have David X. He's one of the featured speakers at the Direct Dating Summit. David X, he's already been on my show twice. He has hold of my two most listened to archive episodes ever. My two most listened to archive episodes ever are the ones I interviewed David X. I'm also going to have Sasha, who's one of the organizers of this fine event. He's in my chat room right now. Sasha Daygame is in my chat room. He's one of the organizers of the London event. And I'm going to have Bad Boy. He's another featured speaker. He's an internationally known attraction and seduction expert, as is David X. This event is for single heterosexual guys to gain wisdom and take some notes on how to improve their ability to approach women more effectively, initiate conversations with them more effectively, and just generally create more romantic and sexual chemistry with women more effectively. I'm looking forward to the event. Here's the promo I've been playing the last few weeks. This is Alan.
So this is Mr. Alan Roger Curry?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Darlene, and I'm supposed to write an article in a very popular London newspaper about your upcoming visit in the United Kingdom in mid-November. Do you think the City of London is ready for the Mode 1 approach?
You tell me.
All of the single men here, they want to listen and they want to learn from you. The single women of London need more men to be Mode 1.
Is that right?
We need you here to teach these single men the right way to approach women.
What about you?
I'd love to be educated, Alan.
I think London is ready for the Mode 1 experience.
London is ready and waiting for you, Alan. When are you coming again?
Yours truly, along with David X, will be in London November 20th and 21st for the Direct Approach World Dating Summit for Men. It's a must-attend event.
I now have to get your book because I'm very curious.
Ooh.
I want to see what's in it. I want to read it so I can come back with you and eat that.
Right there.
Mode 1.
For more details, visit directdatingsummit.com. Direct Dating Summit, November 20th and 21st in London, England. Yours truly will be there. Chat room shout outs. I see Al Zoom in my chat room. I see my good friend Adrian Diva. 36, 26, 36. She's in my chat room. I see a number of guests in my chat room. I see my main man, Hypert. Hypert is my most loyal listener of all times. He's in my loyal listener hall of fame. That's right. I see my younger baby cousin in my chat room, Christopher Curry, a.k.a. Hype Style. As I mentioned, Sasha is in my chat room. He is the organizer extraordinaire of the Direct Dating Summit in my chat room. Singing Fine is in my chat room. Interesting username, White Power, is in my chat room. Other special shout outs would be Alice Singleton, Ruta Fox, my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. My cousin, J.P. Jones from Chicago, After Ball, Maplewood, New Jersey. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III. That's right, No Head, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, Vanessa Turner, Edie Lee Harris, Don Calypso, Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Kathy Holloway Hill, Sean McDowell, DJ Squid, Chad Hunter, all my Blog Talk Radio colleagues, my Facebook friends. That's right, all my Facebook buddies. Hey, the Bears lost to Seattle, and I'm pissed. End of story. Terrell Owens, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, he was voted the most overrated player in the NFL. I don't know if I agree with that. I think Terrell Owens has a big ego. I think he runs his mouth too much. But I can't say he's the most overrated player in the NFL. I could list about 20 players that are more overrated than Terrell Owens. So I don't know if I agree with that. Yeah, he gets on my nerves sometimes, but he's not the most overrated player in the NFL. San Francisco can eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. They can eliminate the Philadelphia Phillies tonight. If they win tonight, they go on to the World Series. I'm not the biggest baseball fan, but I get into it in the playoffs. Right now, Philadelphia is leading 3-2 in the top of the seventh inning. And, yeah, if San Francisco wins, they go to the World Series. Hey, the NBA season starts Tuesday. Are you hyped or what? I'm an NBA fan, and I'm hyped. That's right. NBA season starts. All eyes will be on the Miami Heat, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. They played Boston Celtics. I can't wait to watch that game. That's going to be tight. Hey, I read this interesting tidbit. Check this out. Men, this is for the men. Did you know that you can make a woman feel closer to you romantically and emotionally if you hug her for a minimum of 20 seconds straight? Interesting, huh? So next time you're around a woman you're attracted to, see if you can get a 20-second hug. If a woman don't let you hug her for 20 seconds, I would say 9 times out of 10, that means she's not attracted to you. Or she just, you know, ain't warmed up to you yet. But, yeah, it says this study came out. I'm not making this up. Study came out saying that when you hug a woman for a minimum of 20 seconds, her body releases a certain degree of oxytocin. And if you know, oxytocin is the chemical that women release that causes them to bond with a man. So, yes, get that long-ass hug in there. Mel Gibson was supposed to be in a Hangover 2. He got rejected. First they said he was in, then he got axed. I feel sorry for Mel. Mel was just going through some hard times. And finally, there are 11 interesting sex tips that came out, what they call 11 surprising sex facts. I don't know if I'm going to go through all 11, but I'm going to go through some of the highlights. Men are 6 times more likely to watch internet porn than women. That's no surprise. Come on. If getting tied up during sex happens, the man is most often the one tied up rather than the woman. That's mildly surprising. 81% of men have wet dreams. Duh. Like, that's surprising. The most popular flavor of edible underwear is cherry. Cherry. The least popular, and this is a surprise to me, chocolate. You know, women love chocolate, but that's the least popular flavor of edible underwear. According to the books, in Fairbanks, Alaska, it is illegal for moose to have sex on the city sidewalks. I don't know what comment to make in response to that one. I've never seen moose fucking before. Not even on video, nothing. I just ain't really into, like, moose fucking. That's just, I'm just not into that. Here's a kicker for women. Here's one for women. Having sex regularly can make a woman maintain her youthful looks and generally look more attractive. Wow. That's interesting, huh? The more sex a woman has, the more attractive she will look. It says that she will maintain her youthful appeal for a longer period of time. And finally, I'm going to give one more. Do you know a woman with a pH? No, I'm gonna give two more because I got to see another one I'm interested in. One next to last one. Having a woman with a PhD is more likely to engage in casual sex than a woman that's less educated. Ain't that something? A woman with a PhD or a woman who's highly educated is more likely to engage in a one-night stand or a weekend fling than a less educated woman. That one surprised me, actually. That I can say that one surprised me. And the final one, I don't know if I agree with this. It says more women talk dirty during sex than men. Now, everybody who knows me, male and female, knows that I'm the king of talking dirty. I got a show called The Erotic Conversationalist because I love to talk dirty. So you telling me that there's women out there that love to talk dirty more than yours truly? Oh, man, she would have to be some kind of ridiculously crazy anomaly for me to ever interact with a woman who love. I met women who love to talk dirty as much as me, a handful as much as me, but more than me? I don't know, but that's what this study says. So when I get back, I've been talking about stuff to do with sex. I'm ready to get this conversation going. So when I get back from this intermission break, we will be ready to rock. All righty.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
Just so listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it. single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with Yolanda Shoshana, a.k.a. the Courtesan Coach, and the funky brown chick, Tawana A. Hines, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. To another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Now, I got to give a quick disclaimer. If my Aunt Mabel is listening, you know, my Aunt Mabel, she loves to listen to her nephew talk stuff. This is not going to be one of those episodes for my Disney Channel watching listeners. You know, I love to tell my listeners that I have a lot of Disney Channel watching PG-13 oriented listeners. Now, this, in parts of this episode, maybe not the entire conversation, but in parts, we're going to get raw and greasy. So Aunt Mabel, your nephew, yeah, you're going to realize tonight that your nephew's just a big-ass freak. So I just want to tell you, Aunt Mabel, that, you know, if you're listening, Alan Roger Curry is just a big-ass freak. And this big-ass freak is about to introduce his dynamic guest. One of my two guests is a media personality, sensualist, speaker, and writer living in the Big Apple, New York City. She graduated from the College of Santa Fe with a BFA in theater with the aspiration to become the next Whoopi Goldberg. What you think about that? That was one of her original aspirations. But her life's journey led her down a different path, and instead she followed her entrepreneurial spirit by starting a lifestyle company that engages the senses to help people live lusciously. Keyword, lusciously. She is a food enthusiast. That's like me. I love chicken wings, man. Clothing junkie and chocoholic. See, she likes edible chocolate underwear. And she lives and rocks it in Harlem. Her services include courtesan coaching, workshops, classes, pleasure planning. I like the sound of that, pleasure planning. Image consulting, empowerment through media, wedding officiating. She is the founder of the School of Courtesan Modern. That just sounds important and fancy. A modern day courtesan school which teaches women the art of seduction. She also is the creatrix and sensualist of luscious creams, potions, etc. That helps women unleash their inner courtesan, or I would say their inner freak. She has led seminars, workshops to a variety of audiences. Her workshops have been about life issues, food, empowerment. Food? Man, she loves some food. I love chicken wings. The laws of attraction. She has produced and hosted her own talk show for women in Manhattan on Channel 56 for the past 4 years. That's about the length of time this show has been on, Upfront and Straightforward, called The Luscious Life with Shoshi. My other guest is a Manhattan-based sex, dating, and relationships writer who studied at New York University. That's right, NYU. Her BS and MA degrees are in sociology. She has been called one of the internet's sultriest sharers by The Village Voice, and details about her rendezvous have been printed in Glamour magazine. She has appeared on CNN, NPR, Sirius Satellite Radio, as well as CBC, and Paris premiere French television. Talk to me. That's what I'm talking about. She has written for Lifetime, Nerve, New York Press, Fast Company, and has a blog on the Huffington Post. AOL, get this list. AOL has even recognized her award-winning site, funky brown chick. She has been quoted in New York Magazine, Gawker Media, San Francisco Chronicle, Ebony Jet, the Baltimore Sun, Vibe, and elsewhere. Before moving to New York, my guest enjoyed a career in international affairs on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Listeners, give it up for my two dynamic guests, Yolanda Shoshana, otherwise known as the Luscious Lifestyle Diva and Courtesan Coach, and the funky brown chick, Miss Tawana A. Hines. What's up, ladies?
Hey.
What's up, ladies?
That was awesome.
You said what?
I love it. It's so good to be here. I'm so excited about the show.
Well, thank you, too, for joining me. And Soshi, Alice, is
yes.
in the chat room checking you out.
Hey,
you
Alice. What's up, girl?
Hey.
What's up, Alice?
Now, I want to ask each of you, Tawana, I'll start with you. What
sure.
led you to this career as this writing about and talking about sensuality?
Well, I did my degrees in sociology, and so I've been writing and publishing journalistic work and academic journals and things like that about how people relate to each other. And sex is just one of very many different activities that's very human, it's very natural, and very healthy for us. And so I'd already been writing about how we relate and researching that, and when I moved to New York, I really focused specifically on sexuality.
Mm-hmm. Soshi,
yes,
how'd you get to just, you know, professionally talk about fucking and stuff related to fuck? Well, I don't want to limit it to the exchange of
yeah, organs. Don't limit it to that. Don't limit
you handle
it to
a
that.
Lot of life issues, empowerment. But since this show is specifically about sensuality and eroticism, I want to hear how you got into talking about fucking.
Well, as you say, freak. I guess you could say I've always been a freak. But I almost became a rabbi. And
really?
Yes, I almost became a rabbi. And so that's how I started life coaching. But what I was realizing was most of my clients, ended up talking about love and sex and relationships. Sex became a bigger piece. And so I had always studied the courtesans, who were amazing, beautiful, delicious women that were so irresistible to men. I decided to add that to my practice about a year and a half ago, and it has been fabulous and amazing, and it's let out my inner sexual side, which most of my friends said it's about time. So it just kind of opened the door more to me.
Now, Soshi, for my listeners who might be ignorant to that term, what exactly is I hope I'm pronouncing it right, courtesan?
Yes, courtesans were women. Way back in the day in Italy, they attended the court. They were there to help the matriarchs and all the noblemen with languages and help to inspire them. And the men fell madly in love with these amazing women because they were delicious. They were studied. They knew culture. They were sexy. And eventually women were bred to become courtesans, which is why if you look up the word, it says escorts and it says prostitutes, and that's not what they were at all. But they were really amazing women who actually influenced societies. Coco Chanel was a courtesan. Eva Peron was a courtesan. A lot of amazing, famous women were courtesans.
Really?
Yes.
Ava Peron, that's who they did the famous play?
The movie Evita, the one that Madonna
was in.
Yeah,
Evita,
yeah. Yeah, she was a courtesan as well.
Now, I was watching Real Sex. I don't know if that's still on. It used to be on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a comment made by this one woman. She was a bisexual woman. She said, men are more sexual than women, but women are more erotic than men. How do both of you interpret that comment, starting with you, Tawana?
Hmm.
I think the thing is, when we talk about words like sex, sexuality, eroticism, that means very different things to different people, such as words like pornography or, as Yolanda was saying, courtesan. Like, when you hear these words, it touches a very emotional space because sex is such a very personal thing. And so for the bisexual woman on Real Sex, and I've seen that show tons of times and I've had friends that have been on it, it's great, men tend to generally be much more visual in sex and much more physical. Like when they do surveys, and NIH does the CDC, and then also the condom people, like Durex also does a survey, they look at how men talk about their sexual lives and how women talk about them. And you'll find things like men, like you were mentioning, Alan, I also heard when you were doing the break, you had this little spot that said men are more likely to watch porn online than women. Again, a very visual thing. And so if someone's talking about having sex with a man, it's going to be much more tactical, much more visual. It's much more about that experience. When you read surveys about women and what women say about sexuality and sex, things like Women's Day had a survey that said 84% of women have had sex with their husbands to get them to help with household chores. And so you see in that case, sex isn't just about the actual physicality. It's kind of going on emotionally in that relationship. What do we exchange sex for when we're in relationships with people and things of that nature?
Mm-hmm. So she...
Yeah, I like the way you... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have to agree. I think, you know, one of my friends, a male friend, said to me, he's like, we don't need anything but a hole, and we'll put our dick in anything. As long as there's a hole, we're good to go, right? whereas a lot of times women, you got to warm us up sometimes. It's like, it's like the woman who's not interested in the guy, but by the end of the night, they've kind of started to turn us on. It is about the emotional part. It's about the tapping into the senses, as I say. What is it about? And it's about the emotion. But I also want to disagree with one of your comments, Alan. Well, I won't 100% disagree, but that comment about more men are likely to watch porn online. Actually, women are the biggest growing audience for watching porn. So I just think maybe we're not answering the question 100% correctly, but we are definitely watching and subscribing to those porn channels. But a lot of them are different porn than what men are watching. So.
You know, that's funny you say that. I don't know about the kind you can just access by going to a website, but I did read, I want to say about a year ago, that in terms of, like, renting DVDs, porn DVDs through the Internet, yeah, the women demographic had increased some ridiculous number, like 5,000% versus men. So, yeah, you women are... watching that porn and pulling out your dildos and vibrators and clit stimulators. Speaking of clit stimulators and vibrators.
Yes.
You guys are just giggling.
Yeah, I'm giggling because it's the way you change your voice. It's like, yes, exactly.
I get that. That's, you know, my more relaxed, I'll call it my relaxed voice. Why is the women's sex toy industry a multi-million, on the verge of being a billion-dollar industry? What is it about things like a nice vibrator, a nice dildo? Because, you know, us men, our toy is our right hand, or for the lefties, the left hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, women can have a whole box full of just toys. What is the appeal of these toys? I'll start with Soshi.
Well, now, I mean, I don't know if you're paying attention, but now the toys are absolutely stunning and beautiful. They're making them these gorgeous collectible items. They finally figured it out. We don't want just a regular thing. They're making beautiful objects and wrapping it in satin and silk. That's number one. It's beautiful. Two, they also enhance play and pleasure. And now with so many single women, sometimes you're in between your maintenance person, it's good to have something with you, and it's also nice to just have something in a bag when you need to pull it out, no matter where you are, like some of us do. So it's just, it's nice when you like toys. Not everybody's into them, but that is the one sex business that continues to flourish. And they just keep coming out with better and better amazing toys, and why not try it? Why not?
Okay. Tawana?
I think if we talk about sex toys, we have to talk about masturbation, because that's what we're using them for. And it goes...
Yeah, please elaborate about masturbation.
Oh, please let me. And so I think a lot of it comes down to plumbing. You take a 12, 13, 14-year-old boy. He's aroused. He's going to physically see that. His penis will be erect. It'll become engorged with blood. And it's just, and it'll become firm. I mean, he will visibly see, I am aroused. And he'll learn that if he touches it, if he plays with it, if he strokes it and things like that, it's like, oh, wow, I can have an orgasm. And when he comes, it will spurt right out of his penis. And so it's a very visible thing that he can see and understand and see representations of that in porn quite a bit. Take a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl. She's aroused as well. It's not the same thing in the sense of seeing the arousal the way that it is for a 12, 13, or 14-year-old boy. And then not only that, if she orgasms, there's not a physical product. I mean, maybe if she's a squirter, yes, but, like, generally speaking, if not, there's not some physical byproduct that's in her hand or somewhere else that shows her, look, I came. And so you find girls in their teens saying, I don't know if I've had an orgasm, or maybe they have or they don't. And so sex toys, I think, in that degree, have really tapped into that dearth of knowledge, or that just kind of women wanting to know more about pleasure, about sexuality, and things of that nature.
And, Alan, now they're making them with iPod vibrators. My God, how brilliant. Come on. Who doesn't want
that? Vibrators? Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing. And you can wear one that you can just hide. If you go to a club, it's the bullet, and it vibrates to the noise. Come on. Please. You kidding? Best.
So you could be on the dance floor, and you're just coming all over the place.
Literally. Coming all over.
That's sexy to think about. Now, well, first of all, I want to ask you about, since you mentioned those facts, I mentioned some of those tidbits and whatnot, what do you think about that whole hugging for 20 seconds or more? Do you think you would feel closer to a guy if he hugged you for a half a minute or more? Either one.
This is Twana. I absolutely would. I have this thing for erections. Like, I love feeling a guy's bulge kind of just right against my body when I'm hugging against him.
Wait,
and
I couldn't hear you.
You
like feeling the guy's what?
I'm sorry?
I couldn't hear you. You like feeling the guy's what?
Oh, can you hear me? Oh, a guy's erection. Like, when he gets hard,
like,
and
like
you can
hard
feel
dick.
It. Exactly. Right. His hard cock. Through his pants when he's standing there. I like feeling that if I'm, like, hugging against him. And that feels really good, and it's very sensual.
Tawana, you have to get used. You're going to get used to this the rest of this conversation. One thing I'm known for, all my female friends know, when it comes to conversation about erotica, my most signature phrase is, say it again. Matter of fact, they say if I write a book about my erotic memoirs, the title has to be called Say It Again. So I'm going to ask you to say that again.
I'm going to say the word cock. Cock. Big hard cock. Again.
Oh. I like this conversation a lot. Dang, I lost my train of thought. Listeners, they're getting me discombobulated over here. Oh, I was talking about hugging, yeah. Soshi, what if you got hugged for like 20 seconds or more, you think that would have an effect on you? Hello?
Soshi,
what happened
to Soshi?
No. Did we lose Soshi? What happened to Soshi?
Hello?
Soshi, you back?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, somehow
Dang
I got
water.
Muted or something.
Right. I was like, where'd you all go? I'm talking to you. I'm saying so much. No, so I want to thank you for all the fools who will be walking around hugging women now for 20 seconds. However,
just put a visual in my head of guys just walking up to a bunch of random women trying to hug on them.
They will. However, when the right guy does hug me for 20 seconds, it is on. I do appreciate it. I love it. And because I'm 5 feet, the penis cock does hit me in the right place, and I fully enjoy myself. So I do like it.
I forgot to tell you, ladies, before the show, I got only a handful of ground rules. And one of my ground rules is you can't use those formal clinical terms like penis and vagina. That just sounds like
you
a
want
doctor
cock.
Talking.
Okay.
Got to say cock and pussy
cock.
And all that type that nasty stuff.
Oh,
Aunt Mabel,
God.
Please forgive me, Aunt Mabel.
I know. Aunt Mabel.
Your nephew, I know, you just like, it took you all this long to say, damn, my nephew's a big-ass freak.
And she's taking notes. Shout out, Aunt Mabel.
Oh, now, would you say, you kind of alluded to this, Tawana, would you say, given that we're having a conversation, we're listening to each other, are women more auditory than men?
You know, the easiest answer to that question is it depends what the person is saying. Because it's not just about the tone. Yes, tone does play a part. Like if I say, Alan, great to be on your show, or Alan, it's so great to be on your show. Like that connotates completely different things. So tone does matter, but I think when it comes to, you know, getting laid or hooking up for the night or making your relationship better or stronger, whatever, it's more what's been communicated than how it's being communicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's being communicated more than how it's being communicated. Okay, Soshi, what's your thoughts?
I'd have to agree 100%. And, you know, sometimes I use some of my good stuff when I'm really into somebody, and sometimes I'm like, just let's do this and shut the fuck up. If I'm really into somebody, though, I'm whispering in the ear and I'm saying all kind of stuff I want them to do to me. But if I just want to, you know, get laid and fucked and everything, just let's go, let's do this, and I ain't got much to say but take care of business, and you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here. So that's what that's about. But it does depend. I think it depends.
Now, yeah. I know a lot of women are big into lingerie. Does that make most, if not all, women feel sexier?
I'd say most. Some women are not into it, but I'd say most because of the way it feels on the skin as well. And I'd say that that's definitely something about the senses because the way it touches the skin. Now, I'm not talking about, I mean, now we can all go get some $5 lingerie, but like the really good stuff with the lace and the silk, it just makes you, it adds a little spring in your step because you also know that you're ready to take your clothes off at any minute. So it does add a little something versus having your grandma panties on. Hey, because you're ready to go, right? You have no fear in throwing your clothes off at any given moment. But if you have on cotton drawers, you don't want anybody to see you. You get out of your situation and save it for next time.
Okay. Tawana, what's your thoughts on lingerie?
I don't wear underwear on a daily basis, like generally speaking. So if I'm wearing lingerie, like the only time I wear stuff like that is if I want to look sexy and feel sexy and it's not just utilitarian. Like I don't see the point of underwear, quite frankly. But if I'm dressing up and I want to feel sexy, I see it as another outfit, basically. Like a rocking, you know, bra and panty set that just like hugs you in all the right places and pushes up and sucks against your skin in all the right places can be very sexual.
The way you guys.
I love how you your response is
exactly right. You notice that too, Susie.
He takes it all in. We like a man who takes it all in.
Ooh, ooh, say that again.
I like a man who takes it all in.
Listeners, I just love these nasty, naughty, erotic women I have. Let me ask you, we were talking about porn.
Yes.
And why is it that some women like both. I've met quite a few women that like both erotica and porn. But there's some women that love erotica but don't necessarily like porn. Why is that, Tawana?
Oh, you know what it is? I feel like everybody has the right to be into what they're into. And so if someone's really into erotica, you know what it is? It's like this. Here's a good example. The difference between going to a nude beach and seeing a guy in really hot swim trunks or seeing a girl in a hot bikini or something like that, it's sometimes the illusion of sex or the illusion of nudity or the illusion of what could come later is hotter than just having it all hang out there. And so if you want to use that correlation, erotica is like seeing someone in a hot swimsuit, whereas porn is being at the nude beach. And so there's a time and place for both of those, you know, if you're into either. There's nothing wrong with one or the other.
Mm-hmm. So
I say try everything once. If it turns you on, do it again. And if it really turns you on, just keep doing it.
Amen to that. High five, T. I would say, and I've actually been thinking a lot about this because I'm thinking of producing and directing porn myself.
Really?
I think, yeah, I am. I think that what it is, too, is some women actually don't know about porn. They just think they won't like it because they've never really watched it. Two, you know, they don't know that there's all this really amazing porn out now made by women because there is a huge women's movement, not huge, but a growing market of women who are producing porn from a feminist perspective. And really a lot of that difference is there's a storyline. In other porn, in porn for men, you know, the guy walks in with the pizza box and she's just ready to suck his cock, right? Whereas in a woman, when a woman directs a film, she makes a whole storyline and empowers the woman. And I think that's also the difference. In erotica, a lot of times I feel like women are more empowered as well. And it is also about the illusion, but it's to me there's less of women are stupid little bimbos. Now, mind you, I love watching all porn, personally, but I do think that storylines make a huge difference in what women like when it comes to porn.
So women...
I totally think you do porn. I could... completely think you should produce porn. I think we need more women voices in the porn field. And so,
thank you.
Great. I really think it's awesome you're considering doing that.
Thank you, girl. Thanks.
Well,
we know each other. I'm sure you know this, though, Al. We know each other, too. Dawn and I know each other. So.
We've never slept with each other, but we do know each other.
Yes.
So
good disclaimer. That's true.
See, I just had a visual in my head just when you said
uh-huh.
that.
Uh-huh. See, of course you did. Like you didn't have it already. Come on.
Especially like you had that visual before the show even started. What you talking about? Now, given that you two are both writers and I'm sure you interact with your fans quite a bit. What are some interesting stories that you have, or challenges, I should say, from one or more females that made you raise your eyebrows? Like, wow, this is an interesting dilemma or situation or scenario related to a woman and her sex life. I'll start with you, Tawana.
You know, for me, it's with readers, but it's also one of the wonderful things about living in New York City is that it honestly is
just a wealth of people that are working in creative fields, writing, film, all this stuff or whatever. So no matter what your thing is, be it food, be it sex, be it whatever, you're going to find a million people that are doing other things like you. So it's really a true community in that respect. And so in the sex community, from people who read my blog, but then also people who are creating their own content, I've been most, I'd say, eyes wide open and learning and observing from the BDSM community, because I've never really been into BDSM. That's not really my thing. And on a scale from, like, submission to domination, I'm much more towards domination.
Whoa. Slow down now. So, Tawana, you like to dominate your partners?
Yes, I do. And when you were saying that men are more likely to be tied up than women, I completely believe that. I've tied men up, and they've loved it. So, yeah. So having said that.
So, Tawana, you one of those that like to say, whose cock is this? Tell me it's my cock. Say it's Tawana's cock.
Exactly. Put that big fat cock inside of me. Do it now. Fuck me already. Exactly. Like, I love this, like, I like giving orders in bed. I think it's fun.
Okay.
And so, not to completely go off of that, we kind of went into that area right there, but as I was saying, and so for me, it's been, like, speaking to women who are submissives, who are, like, really into submission and sex. That's really been a learning experience for me, because I couldn't, that's just not my world. And so speaking to women who are extremely submissive, but they're not weak people, they're not confused, they're not anti-feminist, they're not all these whatever. So, like, just kind of learning more about, like, who they are. And even if it's not my thing, it's still interesting to me to kind of learn about what turns them on about that, you know?
Okay. So she was something you might have, I don't know, like, you know, kind of the Dear Abby type questions. What's like a scenario, situation, dilemma that really blew your mind, that was kind of out of the norm?
Blew my mind? I don't know how much is out of the norm for me anymore, because I coach people in this. So it's a little different for me. I don't just write about it. Mm-hmm. For me, I also coach celebrities, and it's interesting when
Tell us.
No, that's why they're still my clients. that's how you get celebrity clients. You know how to keep your mouth shut. You know what? You get calls at 3:30 and 4 in the morning of, like, young actors who tell you, I can't get it up. It's like, well, stop fucking drinking so fucking much. You know, I'm kind of like, yeah, and send me my money. So I I've had a scenario where a couple was married and he was ready to become a woman and she was going to stay with him. I mean, I get stuff like that. I just get all types of stuff thrown at me all the time, and nothing really shocks me anymore. So it's hard for me to say, oh, it's shocking, because I get letters from people all over the country, you know, questions, and I'm so used to it now. I guess I'm getting a little sometimes I get a little sexed out because I never know what I'm going to get. I'm trying to think of something crazy. I don't have anything so crazy. It's just for me sometimes when celebrities who, you know, when you see, oh, my God, a sex tape leaked, they're really just as idiotic as any regular person when it comes to sex and relationships. And some of the most beautiful women in the world have more male problems than we ever could. So that's the stuff where you go, really? You really don't think he likes you? Really? So it's just interesting.
Now, speaking of around the world, I hear from Antoana. I've read that you're just this world traveler. I hear a lot from Europeans that Americans are perceived as sexually prudish. Tawana, why do you think so many Americans by the Europeans are perceived as prudish?
Because in a large extent, we are. I mean, the fact that you have a television show on, and if someone says the word penis or cock, it's bleeped out. Even though you know that that's the word that they said, it's still bleeped, which to a European mindset seems very
almost adolescent, kind of childish. It's kind of like, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'm so, you know, P-I, you know, bleep, 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 D-off. You know, it's kind of a like, yeah, that's how they see it. Like, why are you bleeping swear words? Like, what the hell, you know? And so you got that. And then the other thing is that you have politicians here literally losing or winning elections based on abortion or gay rights or marriage. Like, that decides how someone should govern. In their mindset, it's like, what does that have to do with how they govern your country or your state? Like, it just seems so prudish that someone could run on, say, you know, an anti-masturbation platform. Like, that just seems almost bizarre. And I'd say many countries in the world, not just Europe, you know? And so, I don't know. It's pretty wild. But then you've got the other extreme where it's like, yes, Americans are seen very prudish in that way and very uptight when it comes to talking about sex and engaging in sex and things like that. But we're also extremely loose in the way that we share our bodies with others. You know, not loose, not meaning a negative connotation, because I don't believe that at all. But just like if you tell someone from another country that isn't, you know, very Americanized or something like that. Yeah, I went on a date with one guy on Friday night and we fucked him and it was so good or whatever, and so maybe I'll see him again, but I don't know, we'll see. And then on Saturday when I went with this other guy, they're like, whoa, but I thought you liked the other guy. What is this? This concept of dating, what we commonly know as dating, isn't necessarily, doesn't hold true in a lot of other countries. And dating websites even, like Match.com, eHarmony, all of these are branching out to other countries, but they haven't been there and aren't as popular as they've been here. And so the whole dating culture and just kind of like trying out a lot of different people, that's seen as being very, you know, the opposite of prudish, quite frankly, like just very like out there, like, wow, I can't believe you guys actually do that, you know? And so, and I can't speak for all areas of the world. I've lived in Europe for a period of 4 years. I was in the UK and I was also in the Netherlands, and I've traveled to about 15 to 16 different countries. In Western Europe in particular. And I'd say, having traveled and lived over there, that's generally the sentiment that I picked up when I was over there. But, you know, I can't say that if I were to go live in Japan, it would be quite different. So who knows?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Now, you know, I don't know if you heard at the beginning, Tawana, I'm great. I'm a speaking.
Tawana, London, baby.
In London. I've never been to London. What can you tell me about London?
Well, first, good luck and have fun at the Direct Dating Summit. I heard you say that you're going to go to that. I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. London. When I went to London, I hadn't spent much time in New York. And so to me, London was huge. It was international. It was all these things. Like, when I moved over there, I literally was like, I'm getting the fuck out of Illinois. I got my, you know, my passport, a one-way ticket, and a backpack, and I just left. And so when I went to London, my travel experience wasn't what it is now. And so back then, I thought it was just great and so international. Having lived in New York for the last 6 years, when I went to London in, what was that, I think 2007, 2008 was the last time I was there. So it's been a couple of years. I thought, wow, it's like a European New York. Like, I saw it being much more similar to experience that I was more comfortable with and more familiar with. Whereas when I first went there, you know, my early 20s, on my own, didn't know a soul, I felt just like, this is the biggest city in the world, and it's so overwhelming. And so I think if you travel to other large cities, it's totally going to be easy to get along. The accents are fun. I love accents, be it Jamaican, Bolivian, whatever. I just like hearing people speak different ways, you know? So you'll love the accents. The food will be good, despite what people say. People slam the Brits in their food.
A lot of criticism from London in regards to food.
Everyone's like, don't eat the food. But you can't be a city that international and not have great food. So it's like, you can get food from, the Indian food there is amazing. You'll get better curry in London than you can in New York. You'll get all kinds of great stuff over there. And not only that, there's been a kind of a blossoming. I went to the speed plating event where it's like speed dating plus eating. And the chef there is Danny Boone, who is and he's British, and his food was quite tasty, if I do say so myself. And he is quite tasty looking too, but that's a whole different.
That's not Alan's bag of tea. That's not his bag of tea.
Not his bag of tea.
Hey, I got a phone call. Let me see. Area code 313-313. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Tawana Hines. And Soshi, what's your question or comment?
Hey, is that me?
313.
Hello?
Hello.
That's you. Speak up, my friend.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that was me or not.
Keep talking, babe.
It's you.
Oh, okay.
We
want to
hear from you.
John calling.
Hi.
Sounds like
okay.
Stage fright to me.
No, stage fright. I was wondering if you guys were talking about, like, some of the different sex stuff, and I was wondering if you guys take it in the ass.
I love how we both got quiet.
I didn't know who he was asking. Like,
I think either one of us, both of us, whatever.
Okay, I will totally answer. I'm not a fan of anal. Like, I feel like shit comes out of my ass. I don't want a penis to go inside there. And so I feel like everyone's got their different kink, their different things they love and stuff like that. Anal isn't my thing. There are other things that I'm into, and people are like, really? Okay, or whatever. But anal's not one of them. However, if you are a woman and you are listening to the show and you are into anal or want to learn more about it, I highly recommend. Tristan wrote a book called The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women, and it's without a doubt probably one of the best anal sex books there is out there, and it's I don't know in how many printings, how many editions now, whatever, but Tristan's kind of the anal girl. She gives talks on it, workshops. She's got the book, and so she's great if you want more information about, like, if you're a dude and you want to talk to your woman about, you know, what, anal's not so bad, let's try it out. Or if you're a woman and you're like, you know what, I've never tried it, but I'm open. That's a great resource.
And my response is, it depends on how much I like you. And make sure if you are going to do anal with a woman, I'm going to talk to you since you called in, Guy. Don't approach her like you're in a porn movie and you don't just insert. That shit hurts. None of that. So you have to, I highly recommend the book, too, that Tawana just mentioned, and lube it up, and don't approach her like you're in a porn movie, because that shit's not real, okay? She's a human being, and treat her right. Go slow, baby.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
All right, well, real quick, we're going to take a brief intermission, but ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, you got a question or comment from one of my two guests, if not both. The number is 646-478-5710. Again, 646-478-5710. Now, as I go into this intermission break, it's customary to have a lot of my guests take. Now, are you too familiar with my book, Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking?
Really in capital letters, too, like really thinking, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I want both of you, as much as possible in unison, to stretch out the O's and say, Mo, real seductively, actually, like, Mode 1.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Mode
1.
Alan Roger Curry.
From up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
We'll be right back, listeners. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously Lee, and you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
Mode 1.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction.
again, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Katahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the King of Verbal Seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex addiction.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.net.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially, the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Oh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're having a very raunchy but yet informative conversation about women's eroticism, sensuality, sexuality, etc., etc. And my guests are both very distinguished writers, media personalities, and they both have very catchy monikers. One is the Funky Brown Chick, otherwise known as Miss Tawana A. Hines. And then I have the luscious lifestyle diva and courtesan coach, Miss Yolanda Shoshana. Man, that's a damn tongue twister right there.
You damn right it is. That's the point, baby.
See, I bet I can see Shoshi say, Alan, I want you to say my name 20 times. And I want you to just lick my pussy.
And you do it.
So nasty.
Are you naked doing this show? Are you naked right now? Don't
no
answer
that. Aunt Mabel, please forgive me. I know.
Aunt Mabel, he's making me act up.
Now, let me ask both of you, let me start with you, Soshi. What do you think are two, three, maybe even four common misconceptions that, based on your conversations with men, misconceptions that men have of women's sensuality and or eroticism?
Misconceptions. Let's see. that we're not aggressive enough, because I think that that's not true. I think sometimes there's just miscommunication between both parties. Like, we may be being aggressive, and sometimes it just gets missed. I think it's that. I think that men also think, there's so many. I'm like, we could be here all night. That we, the romance factor, I think that that's a big one. That's a miscommunication. Sometimes it's not about the romance. Sometimes we just like to fuck as well. Sometimes
Ooh.
It's okay. Hey, it is
Ooh,
what it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes we like to just fuck as well, and that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that another myth is, I think the partner thing. I guess it's, men like to, I've been listening to Steve Harvey a little bit lately, too, and talking to women about how many partners they tell their boyfriends that they have had, and we have to not say as many. It's like, well, you know what, if a guy's been sleeping around, he's been fucking somebody. So I think that that's also a I'm sorry?
I said, no, that's so true, exactly.
Yeah, we have to say, oh, I've only been with two guys my whole life. Whereas a guy can just say however many he's been with, but it's like he was fucking somebody in that process. So I think that that's another thing about how many partners we have, and we get judged upon that. And if a girl says a lot, then the guy expects for her to be amazing in bed. And if a girl says a few, he expects for her to be crappy in bed, when just because somebody's been with a lot of people doesn't mean that they know what they're doing, and vice versa. So I think that there's a lot in that as well. So those are some of the things.
Tawana, what do you think are one or more common misconceptions that men have about women's sexuality?
You see, the first one, it's about what men think women want from men, which is penis size. Guys, I think, get hung up on it so much. Like, you know, how big is my penis? Or they've already measured it, most have anyway, and they know exactly, is mine bigger than his? Is mine too small for her? Is she stretched out? Like, just kind of all these things. When in reality, penis size doesn't really vary that much. It's not like, 20% of the population is only, 8 centimeters long. And then, 5% of the population is, 2 feet long. I mean, it's not that big of a difference, quite frankly. Yes, some are longer, shorter. Yes, some are thicker or thinner. But if you know what to do with it, doesn't really matter about size. So I think guys get freaked out about that more than they really need to, quite frankly. Another myth is that I think men tend to believe women don't want sex as much as they do, and maybe it's you've asked her wrong, or maybe she doesn't want it right now, or maybe she doesn't like the way that you're doing it, or maybe different things. It's not just because you've expressed desire and she doesn't want it right then, is that she may not ever want to have sex with you or whatever. It's like, I don't know, communication, and it sounds so trite to say it. What?
No, I love it when you say, she just may not want to have sex with you. I like that. I love it.
Oh, that part, yeah. It's not trite to say it, but communication in general is what makes relationships work or not work. And sometimes it's, I've had one-night stands. See nothing wrong with it, especially if it's a dude that, it's a friend of a friend, and it could become a 14 night stand if it's good, or who knows, whatever. It's like, yeah, I've had some of the most passionate, intense 72 hour relationships you can imagine. But, I love you.
Bye. I love it.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What are two or three things that men just do wrong in the bedroom that you just wish all men would know? Don't do this or don't do that. Let me start with you, Tawana.
Oh, goodness. Let me think. One of the more recent experiences or whatever. This, I'll be as, vague as possible as to not out him. But,
out him on my show.
So we don't make the same mistake.
You guys are bad. But
he was just way more interested in his pleasure than mine. It's a way to kind of come up on something, basically. And generally speaking, if that's your orientation towards sex, you're not going to be a good lover, because a good sex is when both partners are mutually pleasing each other. That doesn't mean equal play at all times and everybody gets 50%. That's not realistic. But it does mean that you're listening to your partner's needs, what interests them, what they want, what they like, and you're not just shoving your cock in and like, oh, this feels so good. Oh, God, baby, God, this is good. Yeah. It's like, okay, that might be feeling good for you, but like, let's do a little bit more sucking and massaging, and you know, let me push your head up down a little bit further from here and things like that. So it's like kind of really listening to what your partner wants and communicating your needs as well.
Now, is a G-spot orgasm all it's cracked up to be? Social.
Oh, all of a sudden you're on me. I'm thinking about the other question. Is it all the time? Hell to the yes. Well, for me it is. You know, though, I mean, depending on who you ask, and I, you know, it's funny, I went to a sex thing on Monday. Depending on who you ask, some people say there's two orgasms. Some people say there's four. Annie Sprinkle, who I love and adore, says there's seven. You know, but I also tell women this, like, because some women have never had one. And you got to get in there and play with your own equipment, because if you don't know how it works for yourself, you're not going to be able to help a guy or a girl get in there and help you get off, because there is a lot to that, because a lot of women have never masturbated, touched themselves, looked at it, felt it. You got to get in it to win it, as I like to say. But I'm all about my body. A guy that I'm into doesn't have to really do anything or touch me for me to have an orgasm. I'm that tuned into my – oh, yeah. I'm like, I could go off any minute. I could go off right now.
You can do it right now.
I mean, it's very simple for me, but I am like, woo, I'm always aroused. It's like the big joke around me is I'm always turned on. Food as well. Food turns me on. I can have a foodgasm. I have an orgasm having coffee if it's really good. That's how I am. So you're saying
your pussy just stays moist?
All the time. It's just always good to go. However, the wrong person, though, can dry that shit up in a second, you know? It's like, shut up. Don't speak. Because I can do it for myself. I know what turns me on. I know what gets me off, right? A lot of women, unfortunately, don't have that, which is a lot of what I do. But to me, it's definitely cracked up with everything. But a lot of women have never really gotten in there. And that's something that women have to do so that they can communicate to their partner. Because a lot of it is the communication. You can and help him, help her, help you if you know what works for you. So I'm all about that.
Soshi, you kind of fucked me up, because did you see this? I want to say it was the second or third Austin Powers, when Dr. Evil's son kept trying to talk, and he was just like,
shut up.
And when you said a motherfucker could dry your shit up, you just want him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm picturing a guy on a date with you, you're just like,
just be quiet. I'm going to take care of myself tonight. I don't need to. Yes, very easily.
But I want to go back to the other visualization. Now, so she just say for me, say, my pussy stays moist.
My pussy stays moist.
I like that. What about you, Tawana? Does your pussy stay moist?
Oh, not all the time. There are times where it's not like, I'm not aroused all day, every day. Like, there are times that I'm just like, you know, maybe I'm hungry. Maybe I just want to. I want to eat a chocolate cupcake. I don't want you to look at me, try and touch me, try and kiss me, touch me. I just want to eat.
That's a shame, because you're walking around with no panties on. Damn it.
Man, I got to tell you, Tawana, you just fucked up my whole rhythm and shit. I was like, I just had stuff. She said, ooh, my pussy stay moist. Here's Tawana. Well, yes, sometimes it does, like, you know, early in the morning. But then when I eat, like, a burger, I don't want my pussy moist. And then when I'm, you know, and with my friend on the phone, and I don't, you know, I don't think about my pussy getting moist.
I love it.
Oh, man. Oh, now, Sochi, I did cheat you out of an answer. I had asked Tawana, what is at least one thing a man shouldn't do in the bedroom? I don't think I asked you the same question. What's at least one thing, maybe two things, that you're like, no, 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 son?
Well, I got a big one. I definitely got one. And it was really back to kind of like how I alluded to before about the porn thing. There's a really great website called MakeLoveNotPorn.com, and it's great because while I love porn, the thing that it has done is it makes people think they're living in a porn video. Women are going and having surgeries on their vagina to change the lips on their vagina and, you know, getting things done because they think they need to look like a porn star. Men think that they need to act like the men in porn videos, and that's not true. A lot of times that's not what we want, depending on the porn movie you're watching now. Like I said, now there are more porn movies made for women with a feminine perspective that say, oh, that's a little more romantic, a little more sexy. But that walking in, grunting, and just saying all kind of stuff, no romance, no sensuality, that's not so sexy. So acting like you're in a porn video and not communicating with your partner is a big no-no. Really, it's about who you're with. Some women will be into you throwing her up against the wall and talking to her like she's a porn star. Some will not. But you need to communicate. And that's the biggest thing that I say is the biggest challenge these days because, you know, while I love porn, it's also kind of done some things for us in the boudoir that are not so good.
Area code 614-614, you know, up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest, Miss Tawana A. Hines and Yolanda Shoshana. What's your question or comment?
Hey, AC.
What's up, diva?
How are you?
Oh, I'm just sitting here naked. How are you?
I knew it.
Oh, you
with
saw
some
it.
Chicken wings and peach snapple, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, I have a comment. Two things that men do that just annoy the shit out of me in the bedroom. Do not attack my clit like it's a missile. And do not knead my breasts like you need dough.
Word. High five.
What's the second one you said?
Don't be squeezing on my breast like you need dough.
Mm-hmm. 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 High five.
That is just annoying. I mean, I'm not saying you can't be a little aggressive, but my God, you aren't making pie crusts.
So you like for the head to go in between the legs slowly, and then the tongue to just wet warmth at the tip of the tongue to just gently.
Well, yes, it needs to be. The clitoris needs to be caressed, not attacked and being gnawed on. That shit is painful.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask all three of you women this question. I'll start with my good friend Adrian on the phone. I know a pleasurable orgasm, in many ways, you can say an orgasm is an orgasm, but. Is one better than the other? Is an intercourse orgasm better than an oral sex orgasm or vice versa, Adrian?
I don't think so. I think that depends on the man and what he's working with and what he's doing.
Okay. Tawana, is one better than the other or are they both about equal?
Actually, what's interesting is the Journal of Sexual Medicine just released a study that MSNBC, so if you Google MSNBC plus Journal of Sexual Medicine, it'll pull it up, and they found that, at least in heterosexual pairings, men were more likely to orgasm from vaginal sex. Women were less likely to orgasm strictly from vaginal sex, like oral, anal, something else, but not just strictly, solely vaginal sex, like without stimulating the clitoris or anything like that. Like, women were least likely to kind of have those orgasms.
Sochi?
I love studies. I love what Adrian said, but I really think it's about the two people. I just recently heard a really great doctor, Dr. Pat Allen, say, you know, after a while when two people are together for so long, they stop seeing each other and they're making love and they're just intertwined. And to me, that's what really makes good sex and good orgasms and what have you. So when you two are just in sync, that's when it works.
Uh-huh. Oh, you making me think of on my other show, The Erotic Conversationalist,
mm-hmm.
I had a sex therapist by the name of Alexandra Katahakis.
Ooh.
And
you just like
was,
saying her name.
Yeah,
I know.
And she had this thing where she, let me see if I can find a clip. Well, she's talking about two people into each other. Hold on. I hope I'm going to be
you
actually
a flashback
from my computer, not directly, but let's see.
I'm like, where's that? Where's that?
He got completely discombobulated.
Wait,
we've lost
I think
him.
I got. Hold on. Where is Alexander?
Put your clothes on and find it.
Ain't that so?
No, he's naked. He says he's not.
You know he
is.
He sounds like he's naked.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He
sounds
like he's naked.
Okay. Here it is.
They completely make eye contact with one another when they're feeling each other and they're fucking each other at the same time.
Say it again.
Say it. All right. So I said right. When they're feeling each other and fucking each other.
Ooh, gotta say that again.
And fucking each other.
One more time.
Feeling
oh
each
my
other
God.
And fucking each other.
You said when they're feeling each other and
fucking each other.
Ooh, I like that.
Okay. When two people are
yeah, I like the way she kept saying. You see how I was saying say it again.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
Five times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want a burger. This is more of the eating, not
right. So go ahead, Alan. Say it again.
Wait, who said something about a burger? Why y'all keep fucking up my rhythm? I'm talking about fucking, and y'all, who said something about a fucking burger?
Hold on.
Shit?
Chicken wings. Wings. Ah,
wings.
There we go.
Chicken wings and Snapple.
Oh,
oh my God.
I got a call. Let me see. 312-312, you are now
Chicago.
Up front and straight forward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest Tawana A. Hines and Yolanda Shoshana. What's your question or comment?
Hey, what's going on, Alan? This is Jay Anthony, man.
What's up, brother?
Yeah, my first time calling. I wanted to ask the sisters, because I know they know you got a book, you know, called Mode One. So what I want to ask them is, do you find it as a turn-on if the man is very, like upfront and just, like, directly to the point? Because I find that a lot of women, if you're real honest with them, and it's even in the bedroom before you even talk to them, actually, that's a turn-on. They can actually get wet before you guys even have intercourse. That's about a man being honest. So I just want you, both you guys to just chime in on that, and I just want to get your opinion about that.
Hell yes. This is Yolanda Shoshana. Yes. Because a guy who's lying and making up crap, because normally, okay, some women fall for it. But when I know a guy is being honest and telling me the truth and being himself and in the moment, that's the hottest shit he can possibly do. I don't need the show. I don't want the show. I don't need the lies. I don't want to see, you know, you coming up to me and trying to play games. But a real man, that's the hottest shit ever. That, I mean, my pussy's always wet, but it makes it wetter. And I'm, and more than likely, he'll get my real phone number versus the phone number I will give him if I think he's full of crap. How
about that?
Exactly.
Sochi, you said your pussy's always wet?
My pussy's always wet, baby.
Say it again.
My pussy's always wet, baby.
Mm.
I want a burger.
I'm about to hang up on you,
man.
How much this fucking burger and fucking do not go together.
Yes, they okay. do, honey. You need to read my food blog, my aphrodisiac blog. Burgers are aphrodisiacs.
Is that right?
Yes, especially what
oh,
you have
well,
on
shit, a motherfucker going to In-N-Out Burger then. God damn, I didn't know that.
Hey.
Shit. But Tawana, to answer the brother's question now, well, I already know the answer, shit, for me anyway, mode one, straight up direct, but do you get more turned on, Tawana, when a man is just high, expresses his desires, interests, and intentions to you in a bold, highly self-assured, upfront, straight to the point manner?
Again, it goes back to depends on what he's saying. If it's a guy that I'm interested in and he's like, look, you know, let's not beat around the bush. I'm actually into you, you know, like, fuck all the bullshit. Like, whatever. If he's more like that, yes, that's interesting. If it's some crazy person that I'm not at all attracted to and have given no indication that there's any interest there whatsoever comes up and it's like, I can smell your pussy. It's like, I'm not interested in some, like, guy who's going to be, like, whacked out or whatever. I don't know. It just depends on what they're saying, I guess, you know? Does that answer your question?
Oh, he's gone. Here's what I always tell women, because I've had, now I don't want to get into a mode one segue, but I've had different women, of course, try to challenge certain aspects of my book. And that's
really?
That's been one of them, is that women will say, well, Alan, I want a man that I'm attracted to and interested to be mode one with me, but I don't want a guy that I'm not attracted to be mode one. And I tend to disagree with that, because I say, to me, it's win-win, because even if a man that you're not interested in is mode one, then you know, you and the man know right then and there that you two are not on the same page, and you know not to waste each other's time.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, as compared to the alternative, it's like some women want to say, well, if I'm interested in a guy, yeah, I want him to be direct and straightforward. But if I'm not, I would want him to basically engage me in entertaining bullshit conversation. I'm like, no. That don't work. Either you wanted honesty from everybody or you don't. There's no in-between. You can't pick and choose who you want honesty from. So I just think it's a win-win for both parties, even if there's no connection there.
Okay. Here's a couple thoughts, you know? Like, as a woman, you know, you have a guy, and I think a lot of women can relate to this. You have a guy tell you, you know, I'm really interested in you, or, oh, you know, you got a man? And you say, yes, actually, sorry, I do have a man. Honesty on both ends right there. And you say, I'm not interested. So then he says, well, maybe your man's not treating you right. Or maybe, and it goes on this long thing where it's like, okay, you're being honest, I'm being honest. You're not listening to me say that I'm not interested. So I think sometimes when women say, if I'm not interested in him, I don't want him to be honest, maybe it's that the continued pursuing. Like,
oh,
continuing.
Okay. Then I'm on your side there, because I actually tell men when I do my workshops. I always tell men, if a woman gives you a clear-cut sign that she's not interested, leave her the fuck alone.
Right, that's different.
Yeah, so I agree. There's some men, they keep going, and you like them said in 13 different ways, I'm not interested in your ass.
And never will be.
Okay, I'm going to take, callers, I'm going to take another quick intermission break, and then I'll be back for my last 15 minutes or so of conversation with the funky brown chick and the luscious lifestyle diva. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
Do you want to let loose? Yep. Do you want to vent on the issues all the time? Do you want to express your view? Yes, sir. Then sound off. This is your host, Harold L., okay? Inviting you to join me on Blog Talk Radio with the Sound Off Now show. That's what's up. Real life. Real issues. Real talk. Okay? Uncensored. Join me on the SON Networks Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern for some of the most controversial issues and forums as we simply sound off. I'm there. Come join us on Sound Off Now, where nothing is off limits. That's what's up. www.blogtalkradio.com/sound-off-now.
In this technology age, while we're on the information highway, we'll post about getting a better job, we'll tweet to say that we love what we just ate. But when's the last time you might face someone and tell them you've been molested? Join us on Left Blank for the Great American Speak Out to share your story about child molestation, incest, and or child abuse. Airing Monday, April 26th at 11 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/leftblank. To email your story to us anonymously, send it to jolliali@jolliali.com.
Hey guys, do you ever have trouble getting women or wonder why she picks the jerk instead of you? Do you want to know what she really wants in a man? Welcome to SchoolOfDating.com, the site that will help you build confidence and pick up women without losing your self-respect. SchoolOfDating.com offers live dating shows, a free dating chat line, coaching, and more. Whether you're single, dating, married, or just need motivation when it comes to women, we'll show you how to get there. SchoolOfDating.com, we're more than just a dating site for men. We're a lifestyle.
No one.
I've never really looked at myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay.
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead, like blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. We now return to my interview with Yolanda Shoshana, a.k.a. the Courtesan Coach, and the funky brown chick, Tawana A. Hines, on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. About the last, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 minutes of my episode tonight. And boy, if you just tuned in the last few minutes, it's been a doozy. It's when, you know, now normally everybody knows that probably 3/4 of my shows cater to my Disney Channel watching, innocent, wholesome
snore
listeners. And, but I have every so many shows where I get just raw and greasy. You know, I usually try to save most of that for my other show, The Erotic Conversationalist. But tonight, excuse me, Aunt Mabel again, but we've been talking about fucking. These women have been telling me about when their pussy is wet, when it's not wet. One is not wet when she's eating a burger. The other one's pussy is wet when she's eating a burger. Just all kinds of just erotic talk going on. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about women's sexuality, women's sexuality. Now, I got somebody in the chat room saying all women deep down are freaks. Now, how come, hey, this one I want to ask you. Oh, first let me get some shout-outs. In the chat room, some people have been with me for a while. I got
I got one of my guests in the chat room, Tawana Hines. She's in the chat room. I got a guy who goes by the name White Power. Okay. Self-guided. Not other people guided, not misguided, but self-guided. I got Sasha. Sasha's the organizer of my London event. I'll be in London the weekend of November 20th, 21st. And I got Sandy, a.k.a. How Elegant. Much love to you, Sandy. I got Pink Lady 21. I got love for you in my chat room. I got Jackie Williams in my chat room. I got Jay Infinite. Jay Infinite been in the chat room being Mo 1 with Diva, getting her pussy all wet. I got Hyper. Hyper is my most loyal listener. I mean, if there's a tsunami, hurricane, whatever, he's listening to my show. Much props to him. A number of guests. I got Florida Soul 2000. And, of course, I got Adrian who called in, a.k.a. Diva 36236. Tawana and Soshi, I wanted to ask you, oh, yeah, guy in the chat room was saying that all women are freaks, which I agree with. All women got a freak side. And Soshi, you teach women how to unleash that inner freak side. Now, I like to group women in the women in three categories. There's some women who are erotically uninhibited and are not afraid to let you know they're erotically uninhibited. Then on the flip side, you got those women who are very prudish that, well, again, will let you know that they're prudish. Then you got that middle group. This is the group that leaves us men sometimes either confused, frustrated, or momentarily agitated. It's those women that break their neck publicly to act all conservative and prudish. And Adrian, I'm about to use that term you love. She loves when I say sexually duplicitous. Sexually duplicitous. I've used that term in a lot of my relationship columns. The women who, you know, I guess it relates to that lady in the streets freaking the sheets. What's up? What's the psychology behind the women who try to make 99% of people think they approve, but they really just a big-ass freak? Are they afraid of society ostracizing them? What's up?
Yes. That goes back to what we were talking about the USA being a little more prude. And I think, too, sometimes, okay, you know, I made the comment that women sometimes will say they're with fewer partners for a guy, but also women are hard on women. I've been around women who say, oh, I can't say I was kissing and doing X, Y, and Z with a guy because my friend will judge me, which to me, I'm like, really? Is it that serious? She should be high-fiving you if that's what you want. So I do think that we, what do you call them, the borderline women, the confusing women?
The sexually duplicitous women.
Yes, yes. They definitely do exist, but they're feeling like, I mean, and also, you know, religion comes into play, culture comes into play, so many things comes into play with all of this stuff. It really depends upon the person's background and where they're from and how they're feeling about it, because some people may be feeling ashamed because they grew up in the church. I mean, there's so much. There's so much around all of it. So it's hard to pin it on one thing. But, you know, a lot of times it's really when a woman feels comfortable with somebody, they're going to let it all hang out. So you can call it the freak in the sheets and, you know, closet freaks. Now, there are some people that are just prudes out, too, no matter what happens. And they're, you know, there's the tea party for them. I mean, you know, not just political, but there are people for them as well. So they say. So don't be confused by them. It's just, it's also about how much we like you. Like I keep saying, it's about how much I like you and what I want to do with you and how comfortable I'm feeling with you. Because if I know a guy is full of bullshit, he's not going to get anything from me. While my pussy may be wet, he's not going to get the benefit of that. He gets nothing.
You know what? I'm cocky enough to say this. You know what I think I could do to both of y'all? You all could be there sitting there eating your nice, juicy burgers and be like, you know, Look at old Alan coming in here. What's he think he gonna do? And then I just come with this big plate of juicy, succulent chicken wings. And both of y'all be like, oh, shit. Girl, did you see the way he was eating them chicken wings? You know he can lick pussy the way he eat them chicken wings. Damn.
You and them chicken wings.
Hey, I love me some chicken wings. I
apparently.
I love pussy. pussy is 1B, but chicken wings is 1A. I mean, yeah.
Wow.
A brother loves him some chicken wings.
Pretty hardcore. Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, so you would say that the fear of being, and you know, I'm glad you said it. I don't know which one of you said that, but I get tired of women saying that it's men who are quick to call them a slut or a whore or whatever. But I hear women just as much, if not more, call other women hoes and sluts than I do men.
Absolutely. Especially at a singles event, if a woman comes in, and she might look really good. Dude, oh, my God, look how she's dressed. It's like, really?
Yep. Women can be very cruel to each other in a way that men just, they can be cruel to each other to a degree that men don't reach often. And it's sad. You know, I think it's very sad, and I think that there's so much more we can do to support each other as women that we don't do. I mean, sex aside, everything, I just feel like that's definitely something I feel strongly about. And actually, Jillian Lauren, who wrote the book Some Girls, about her life going from, you know, raised Jewish girl in, you know, New Jersey or whatever, to working in a harem in Brunei or whatever, wrote this awesome book. And there's this line that stuck with me for, it's been months, I think, since I read the book, and it still sticks with me. And it says that men, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, men may, like, you know, go for, you know, whatever, drive-by shooting, punching, stuff like that. Women go for each other's souls. Like, the type of cruelty. Yeah, woman-on-woman cruelty. It's just, yeah, it's unbelievable. But, yeah, read that book and find that, like, if I had it in front of me, I would totally read from it verbatim, because she really captured the way that women cruelly go after each other in a way that men don't go after women often.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's so true.
Now, let me ask you, a lot has been made in a lot of articles I've read, and a lot of male friends I know is definitely caught their eye, these studies that are saying that women are cheating more and more on their husbands and boyfriends in the 21st century than, say, in most of the 20th century. Why do you think women more, you know, it used to be men were known as the ones who step out on the relationship. Why do you think more and more women are stepping out on the relationship? Soshi.
Because now they're feeling the right. They're feeling like, I don't need you. Now, I'm not saying that women didn't step out before. Now it's just being captured. But I do feel like more women are. And I know women have beat me up on this. I'm like, hey, the truth is the truth. Now women are making their own money. They're like, you know what? You're not doing it, so somebody else will, baby. They're feeling like they can find somebody else. They're feeling like, I don't have to sit at home and just do whatever he says, or just, you know, make food and be there when he wants me. Women are feeling more competent to go out and find somebody who's going to take care of their needs. That's why. We're feeling empowered. It is what it is.
So, wait, am I hearing that you two are justifying cheating?
I'm not justifying cheating. I mean, whatever cheating is for a couple. I mean, because that's a whole other conversation. But I'm not justifying it, but I'm saying why. I'm not justifying, but I'm like, if a woman is not getting what she needs, the same way a guy who doesn't get what he needs, how he runs off, a woman will do that as well now. Don't expect for your woman to sit at home and twiddle her thumbs if you're not loving her, if you're not taking care of her, if you're not doing what you need to do. So, men, keep your game tight as well. Because guess what? Somebody else will do what you are not doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just saying.
Exactly, because I will let Tawana tie me up. See, you guys won't let her tie you up? I'm secure enough to let her tie me up and boss me around.
And he's already naked, Tawana. You go, girl.
Hey, now real quick, Tawana, I want you to start and tell my listeners what interesting events you might have coming up, a project you might be working on. Tell them where they can find you on the World Wide Web. And right after she's done, Soshi, I want you to do the same thing.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely the hub of all of that is funkybrownchick.com. You can sign up for email updates. You can subscribe via RSS, things like that. But any television appearances, radio interviews, workshops, classes, speaking at conferences, all that stuff, I shout it out there. That's kind of my online home. You can catch everything there, every article I publish. When it gets published, I try and link it if I remember. There's also a writing sample site, so you can see other things that I've written, my videos. Like, it's kind of my online home, so funkybrownchick.com.
And for me, I am luscious lifestyle diva.com. It is like it sounds. You can also Google me at Yolanda Shoshana or Luscious Lifestyle Diva. You know, the web picks up everything. You can find me on Twitter at Shoshi, S-H-O-S-H-I, and I'm on Facebook as well, Yolanda Shoshana, Courtesan Coach. All that's there. I have an event coming up November 11th at S Factor, you know, pole dancing class in New York City on November 11th. That should be fun. And other stuff. I can never keep up with my own events. Check my calendar, and you will find out everything. And, you know, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say a big shout out to Ruta Fox, who knows both of these
young
ladies. Ruta Fox, she's been a guest on my show. I love her to death. She's always helping a brother out. And so, listeners, join me next week. After this show is over, of course, Tawana, Yolanda, and I are about to have a nice kinky phone sex threesome. But join me next week when I talk about a more serious subject, the subject of divorce. That will be the divorce episode, same time, same place. Until then, listeners, have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I am out.